Well, welcome. Once again, we're here at McShane's Detroit in Black and White. I'm Adolph Mungo. McShane's at Michigan and Trumbull. Alan Langle is on remote. You're somewhere in the desert. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Detroit. Vanessa Moss is running for a 36th district court judge. I'm saying it. I said it last week.
You said it last week. I wasn't here last week.
Well, but you know,
2 weeks ago.
Okay, go ahead.
And this is the guy who talked about somebody's age. Listen to him. Well, he can't even remember what he said 2 weeks ago.
I'm just anyway, an old man trying to be relevant.
Anyway, you are relevant. Okay. Good morning. Detroit and Black and White viewers, listen, if you are watching this morning, we want you to like, subscribe, and share. Like, subscribe, and share. And guess what? We welcome all the people that are watching on YouTube, Facebook Live, X, Instagram, DetroitandBlackandWhite.com is our website where you can find all of our episodes. If you're watching this morning, you want to participate, make sure you like, subscribe, and share, and you also make your comments.
Okay. Jim Nardone, how you doing? Former police chief of Trenton. He's the man. I go down to Trenton, go over to Ramsey's. They love him there. He holds court. I thought you were still on the police force.
Oh, no. Not me. I'm an old retired guy.
So okay. Well,
happily retired.
So. Well, let's get it going, Vanessa. You were gone last week. Now we're going to ask you, what is your outrage of the week?
Well, before I talk about my outrage, I just want to acknowledge the fact that I got a text early Sunday morning. I was out of town, that Eric Mays, councilman in Flint,
died.
He passed away. So I want to acknowledge that he passed away.
He was,
oh my God.
I'm surprised he didn't have a heart attack. About 5 years ago,
right. He
was fiery.
Yeah,
and you know what? I was really disappointed at some of the stories that I read about him, because they said if you don't have anything good to say about somebody,
don't say anything at all.
Right. But you know what? That's what happens, and I think that the councilman would have been proud that they still trying to beat up on him, because at the time of his passing, he was suspended.
He was suspended, right? And he was fighting the suspension.
Right, but you know what? He was the voice for the voiceless. He kept it real.
Yep.
He was the first person that talked about the lead. They told him to shut up. Why are you starting all this stuff? The water is fine. He said people are sick. And you know what? He said, I'm getting calls from folks in my district saying that their kids are sick. And he said something is in that water that's not right. And so he was right. He was right on the money.
Yeah.
You know, people don't want it. They want to kill the messenger because they don't want to hear the message.
They don't want to hear the message.
And so
right.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. The other thing I want to
Did you guys know him?
He went to Michigan State.
Actually tried to get him on the show. It was a matter of us not being able to coordinate. But No, I didn't know him. The other thing I want to mention is this month is Women's History Month. So we're going to have a whole lot of women on the show this month as guests. Okay, so getting to my outrage. My outrage has to do with the controversial education in Florida. The bill known as CS House Bill 1291. We could talk about it.
Why you take my stuff?
It will ban teacher preparation programs and similar courses that teach identity politics or are based on theories that systemic racism, sexism, oppression, and privilege are inherent in the institutions of the United States. So basically, they want you to They want to teach a non-truth because we know.
Well, you see what the University of Florida did. They fired 27 instructors and professors that the DEI.
Right.
equity and inclusion.
Right.
So this is what I say. If you don't want people of color working for your university or going to university, to all you football players, all you African Americans that play football, basketball, baseball, track, don't go to University of Florida, Florida State, Central Florida, all these places. They don't want you. Don't go there. This is Ron DeSantis.
It is Ron DeSantis. And what is so outrageous is you basically saying, hey, don't tell the real history of the United States. This is United States history. It is what it is. But then say, if you talk about it, you need to talk about that, you know, some slaves were paid. I mean, that is so outrageous.
Can I say this
what?
As a kid?
And I'm not saying that they weren't. I'm just saying if you want to talk about history, talk about history.
As a kid, there was a neighbor that lived next door to us. Their daughter got a PhD. I had to be about 8 or 9. That's the first time I heard anybody from my neighborhood got a PhD from Michigan State. They were from Mississippi. Their daughter, come find out years later, their daughter got an undergrad degree from Jackson State. Applied to the University of Mississippi. This is back in the 1960s. University of Mississippi found out she was a Negro, said, you can't come here, but we'll pay your tuition, your housing, to go up any place in the North. So they paid for a PhD at Michigan State University. And I guess this is what Ron DeSantis is trying to come back and do the same thing. So, yeah. All right, you took my thunder on that.
I'm sorry,
Jim,
but not sorry,
Jim.
I'm going to take you on
the week.
I'm going to take you on a different trip. We're going to go on a little journey here.
Okay,
it's Women's
History Month.
That's right. So I'm going to talk about a woman. Her name is Rose. I want to talk about the border for just a minute. So we have the prospective president at the border. We have another
prospective president.
I'm talking about the other one.
I know.
Two of them are down there right now. Right?
He doesn't deserve even the word perspective.
Okay. All right. The last.
Well, those are his words. What do you mean he doesn't deserve those words? This is his story.
So Rose,
take the words out of this man's mouth.
Rose is a 25-year-old woman. Rose is a 25-year-old woman all by herself. She lives with her mother. She escapes, right? She's leaving. She wants to go to a better place, right? So Rose walks. She goes with three friends and she walks across this desolate area, and she crosses the border, right? She wasn't afraid of the U.S. border, the people at the U.S. border. She was crossing from Hungary into Austria. She was worried about being shot by the Russians. She was worried about being sent to Siberia, right? Rose is my mother-in-law. She's 92 years old. Austria welcomed the 200,000 Hungarians in 1956 when they had a small revolution. What's happened to our country is my question. Why is it that we vilify and demonize the people that are coming here for a better life? We didn't do that 70 years ago. And they all, she was in the United States. She left her home and her family on November 17th. On November 30th, she was at a place called Camp Kilmer in New Jersey on November 30th, right? So we can do this, right? Instead of just, this is by design. What the United States is doing down at the southern border is by design. I don't understand it. Why are we doing this? Why are we demonizing these folks that are coming here for a better world?
Let them in.
Well,
listen, in 1956, the world watched as the Russians sent their tanks into Hungary because the young people, always young people.
Students.
The young folks saying enough is enough. Because, you know, when you get old, you're saying, I can't do that. I can't make those decisions. So I'm just let it go. But young folks are not going to take it until these young folks take over this government and kick out grandpa and crazy man, you know what? We still don't have that problem.
Let me say this. I I'm in the middle of the road. I think that if there is supposed to be a process, that process needs to be followed. If there's a process in place, follow the process. I'm not saying you're not welcome to come, but to follow the process.
But they make it chaotic. But you know what? They make it chaotic.
I agree. And that's where I agree with Jim, in that it is by design. They want it to be chaotic. They want us to be in this position of being outraged, confused, mad about how you're treating other human beings.
But you know what?
Because it doesn't have to be that difficult.
But you know what? What makes it so sad about all this, Ron DeSantis family is first generation immigrants. Ted Cruz, daddy, fled Cuba because he was trying to overthrow Castro, went to Canada, married an American. And these Nikki Haley, first generation, her parents came from India. They the main ones that don't want other people to come here. How do you think this country was founded? Because of immigrants. And when I tell folks, I said, why would you have a two-tier system where you allow Cubans to come in? As soon as they get on the beach, they can come in. But the Haitians get on the beach, you put them on the Coast Guard cutters and send them back to Haiti. Haiti is a hellhole right now where the gangs are controlling the country. And we need to accept. You don't need to accept criminals.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you think it should be a process?
There absolutely needs to be a process. But here's where it's propaganda. We're sending about 60% of the people that come to the border back immediately, right? But nobody knows that. But there's 250.
Some people know it, but they're not going to say.
So 50, I think it's 59%. The same under the last two administrations. There are more people coming now. But we've taken we've removed the humanity from these folks. We've made them the devil, right?
And the people that's the advocates, they parents like Trump. His grandfather fled Germany because he didn't want to be in the army. Right. His mother-in-law and father-in-law was given fast track to be citizens and stuff. Yeah, you can't have it both ways.
It takes courage.
There's no question.
In terms of the immigration thing, it's like the New York Times just had a story the other day talking about how the immigrants are helping the economy. They've helped keep the economy as strong as it is. There's a worker shortage. I mean, we could use more workers in this country. People don't want to take certain jobs that, you know, people who are, you know, I mean, now the minimum wage really is $15 in the country. I mean, you go to McDonald's, White Castle, it's $15. So there's got to be a way to incorporate these people. And as you say, Jim, I mean, we've demonized these people and you know, immigrants or whatever is a dirty word. My parents were immigrants. I'm first generation here. It's just crazy. But my thing is our judiciary system, I'm just so concerned with what has resulted from Trump's appointments. The Supreme Court has agreed to take his case to say whether he has immunity. And it would be, I mean, first of all, the circuit court, it was a solid written opinion. It was 3-0. They could have easily turned it down. They took it. Now they're, you know, I mean, they're saying April 22nd, I think, is the date of arguments or whatever, but they could have taken it sooner. I mean, both sides already know the arguments. They've been arguing it through the district court, through the circuit court. And then you have Judge Cannon, another appointee of Trump down in Florida. She's trying to drag her feet on that case. And then, Vanessa might not like this, but Fani Willis has just, you know, created a shitstorm down there and just a sideshow distraction. I think she's not going to get... I think she's not going to be disqualified from that case, but it's going to be close. And, you know, I think when you have a big case like that, they're coming after you. You have to be on your, you know, you have to be aware of that. And I'm disappointed in that.
But Alan, you think that the judiciary just turn rogue in the last 20, 30 years. That's been rogue a long time. And you know what? We wouldn't have Plessy versus Ferguson separate but equal. We wouldn't have all these cases where they upheld Jim Crow laws, where they, listen, they nullified verdicts down in Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina. Listen, so it's just to me, a full circle.
To me, you can't be outraged about the process because he sees the judicial system. Listen, if you have the right to appeal, you appeal. If you have the right to go to the Supreme Court, we don't set the schedule. We don't set the calendar.
Well, we need to take a break. We come back. We continue the conversation. Detroit in black and white. Yeah, let's keep it going.
Thanks, Charles, for letting me use your gardening supplies. I'll make sure I put it back in the garage. Man, tending to that lawn is a lot of work.
Tell you the truth, Jim, I'm more concerned about keeping this house.
What's going on?
Well, you know, Sarah lost her job 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Since we lost that income, the bills have been piling up, and we're so far behind. I don't want to lose the house because of back taxes. I don't know what to do.
I understand. The same thing happened to my sister and her husband when he lost his job. Do you know that the Wayne County Treasurer has plans and programs to help people stay in their homes?
No, I didn't. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Go to www.treasurer.waynecounty.com and see if you qualify.
What's that site again?
www.treasurer.waynecounty.com.
Got it.
And this is Adolph Mongo, Jim Nardone, Vanessa Moss, Alan Langle. I'm Adolph Mongo. We've been talking about our outrages of the week. Alan, you know what? Your take on the primary that was last Tuesday, were you excited? Was it a waste of money? Were you surprised, et cetera?
I mean, it's an interesting. We did a story in Deadline Detroit interviewing Ed Sarpolis about that. I mean, first of all, clearly, look, there's people who are unhappy with the war, but I think, you know, in the Biden administration, but the Biden administration, what they're asking for, the Biden administration is doing. They're pushing for a ceasefire. They're pushing for more humanitarian aid. They're pushing for a two-state solution there. Look, we don't run ultimately. Look, Benjamin Netanyahu, and he did this to Obama, and now we're seeing that he's doing it with Biden. He is, you know, in your face. He's talking, you know, he's got a crazies in his cabinet. They're trying to expand in the West Bank at a time where they need to retract from the West Bank.
Can we withhold our money to Israel if he's not going to listen to us? You know what? I'm just telling you how we're going to do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I know people have said that. I have mixed feelings about that. But, I mean, I'm not 100% against it of saying, hey, look, you got to, you know, at least try, you know, try to work it out with us. I mean, it's I think they're going to get to a ceasefire. And they need to, you know, when we talk about a ceasefire, we need to talk about the return of hostages. I mean, the whole thing is screwed up. We have extremists on both sides, and we need to, like, bring it to a resolution. But that includes returning the hostages there. But the question is, on the election time, you know, Ed Sarpolis was saying, the election was basically mirrored 2016 when Bernie Sanders was the uncommitted, you know, the equivalent of the uncommitted vote. He was saying, look, in Dearborn, Hillary Clinton in 2016 got pretty similar votes to what Biden got this time. The uncommitted vote in Dearborn in this year was equal to the Bernie Sanders vote, which was against Hillary Clinton. And so there's a lot of similarities there. And so the bottom line is, in 2016, Hillary lost by 10,704 votes.
But I don't think this is going to be the case. I'm sorry, and I know the air are pissed at Biden. They pissed at a whole lot of things. But Biden need to be concerned about the Hispanic vote. Biden need to be concerned about the Black vote. Biden need to be concerned about the young folks. That's what he need to be concerned about. What's happening over in Dearborn?
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, though. Concerned about what you think about homeboy selling those gold tennis shoes with the flag on the side that you know.
I don't.
I have a quick question for everybody about you know, he wanted allegedly wanted a Muslim ban, right?
Right.
In the United States.
Right.
I guess my question to everybody, aren't you a little troubled that we're not going to give the people of this country the right to reject Donald Trump? So we're going to try and keep him off the ballot.
So we are these United States of America, right? And the states we have to follow the United States Constitution, but its Constitution does not hit up against the United States Constitution. So you have several states that say, hey, these are regulations. This is what you're supposed to do. And if you don't do it, then you can't be on the ballot. I'm sorry. I respect the United Constitution. It is what it is. Now, do I think that people should have a right to vote for who they want to vote for? Yes, absolutely. If they want to support,
they support
Vanessa Walsh. She's running for 36th District Court Judge.
But you have to look what just happened in Highland Park. The treasurer of Highland Park lied when she filed for re-election. She took advantage of a program that's supposed to give low-income folks an opportunity to buy a house. She bought the house, got $90,000, been doing it since 2012, got fired. The judge say, get your ass out of office, and you're supposed to kick them out of office.
But to Jim's point, he said that, you know, don't you think that people deserve to have it?
If
you don't follow the rules, then your name just doesn't appear. That's just like me collecting names on a petition to get on the ballot. Y'all know I'm gonna bring it back around.
But you're oversimplifying a bigger challenge.
But Jim, as a former police officer, if you got an assault charge or a domestic violence charge against you, can you be certified as a cop?
You probably can today. Yes, absolutely. 20 years ago, you couldn't. But you can, drunk driving, you can, an assault, a domestic assault? Probably not, but.
Go ahead.
That doesn't happen.
That's like Jerry Oliver, who used to be the police chief here in Detroit. He couldn't carry a gun.
Right.
He had about five. Why would you hire a guy that had five or six?
Because we can, and because I could, and that's what I want to do. Listen, I'm not even running for that office, so don't ask me that question. But I do think I will say this.
But that's what
Jim was saying about the guy being on the ballot. For Freda, if you're going to vote for him, vote for him. I'm going to support him. Don't support him.
I got a question. I have a question here. We have a comment here. I'm sorry. Let me get this one here. Derek Henry. I'm curious what your guys' reaction. He says Biden and the Democrats are trying to replace Black Americans with illegal aliens. We are paying them $1,000 a month debit cards. Poor Americans, the homeless, veterans don't get anything. Reparations. What do you guys have any feelings about that?
I don't know anything about it.
I don't even.
You know what? In all fairness, I don't know anything about that. But what I will do is I'll do my friends and find out what he's talking about it next week. But I can't have an opinion on something that I'm not aware
of. Be saying all kind of shit. Money to folks that are coming over here, they getting benefits, they getting insurance and all that. And you know,
California is going to give undocumented immigrants health care.
Wait a minute. They coming home. They coming home.
Oh, okay.
That's reparations. That's reparations to we stole California, New Mexico, Arizona.
I didn't steal Texas. Nothing. You can say it, what? But I didn't so steal nothing at all.
I'm not advocating for illegal immigration. I'm not advocating for that. What I'm suggesting is it's not their fault. It's the United States government's fault that we can't deal with the problem. In 1956, if we can, we can do this, all right, with the technology we have today. No one's going to tell me we can't process a quarter of a million people.
But you know what? In 1956, that happened in Hungary. In 1968, the same thing happened in Czechoslovakia. Right. And when Russians went in there, nobody said nothing.
Right.
See, but that, nobody look at the history. The Russians have went in and suppressed folks, killed thousands
terrorized
of folks.
Terrorized.
Doing it, and you, people saying, we should give Ukraine money. You know what? If you look at the history of Ukraine, they were pro-Germany, they were pro-Nazis, but this was a whole different government today, because if it's Ukraine today, it's Georgia tomorrow, it's Poland the next day, and you know what? They got Putin and folks saying that, you know, we got folks over here in Congress saying they love the guy. You know what? And so it's crazy.
The poor Hungarians, they went from the Nazis to the Russians, right?
And now they got a right-wing Nazi that's the president right now.
Alan, what's your take on it? What's your opinion about the question?
Tell me again what the question is.
You're the one who read the question.
Huh? Oh, about the money. Oh, the immigration thing. I think that we. I'm sorry. I was reading the comments. I was trying to juggle something.
Okay, great.
But I would say.
And throw the comments out there.
Yeah. But I think, you know, first of all, I think, you know, when we talk about, you know, Biden, first the allegation is Biden replacing black people. There's enough room in this country for both. I think that kind of attitude has been like that for generation and generation of people, Americans saying, oh, the immigrants are taking our jobs and stuff. There's more jobs. There's a worker shortage here in this country. So I don't feel that I feel like, you know, as we demonize these people where we need these people, and they were trying, the Senate was trying to put a bill in there that would process people quicker, and that, you know, and Trump sabotage that because he wants to use that. He doesn't want Biden to look good. I mean, what kind of country is this? What kind of politicians are they when they're like so worried that they're willing to let the problem get worse and worse because they want to let their crazy cult leader try to get back in the White House? I mean, look, the guy is a criminal. He's a criminal. And it's just insane that any other candidate would have ever had 91 criminal charges and still be a viable candidate. Not only viable, but the candidate. I mean, it's insane.
But Alan, you look at the history of this country, and you that if we elect folks that then members of the Ku Klux Klan, the White Citizen Council that are led lynch mobs, they've been governors, they've been congresspeople, et cetera. We're going to allow Nazis to come in here after they shot up everybody over in Europe. And you surprised? I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that we got Mitch McConnell and those jokers up there in.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why when Democrats is the control of the House or the Senate, they need to push their agenda, and they don't do it. They do not do it. Republicans get in there and say, you know what we're going to do? John Ingalls said, I'm closing all facilities. He did it.
Yep. You guys are freezing a little bit here.
They top them off in the city. But they do what they say they're going to do. But Democrats, we can't do that. We say you can't vote for Biden. Arabs say we ain't voting for Biden. We going to send a message. They sent a big message and not voting for you. So,
but you know what?
We're not voting for you, or did they vote uncommitted? They didn't say anything one way or the other, basically. We're holding our own hostage until you do this, that, and third. Which is different than something that Eric always talk about. He talk about the African American demand nothing. We demand nothing. Okay.
Hold tight.
We're gonna give you our vote.
Hold tight. We're gonna take a break and we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about how we can meditate and.
By the way, before we break, I'd just like to apologize to our viewers. We're having you guys are coming in. We're kind of losing the signal a little bit in and out, but hopefully, I apologize for that.
Out there. Thanks, Charles, for letting me use your gardening supplies. I'll make sure I put it back in the garage. Man, tending to that lawn is a lot of work.
Tell you the truth, Jim, I'm more concerned about keeping this house.
What's going on?
Well, you know, Sarah lost her job 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Since we lost that income, the bills have been piling up, and we're so far behind. I don't want to lose the house because of back taxes. I don't know what to do.
I understand. The same thing happened to my sister and her husband when he lost his job. Do you know that the Wayne County Treasurer has plans and programs to help people stay in their homes?
No, I didn't. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Go to www.treasurer.waynecounty.com and see if you qualify.
What's that site again?
www.treasurer.waynecounty.com.
Got it.
Okay, we are back.
Oh, that's Kennedy.
We are.
He looks different in this picture.
We back. In celebration of Women's History Month, we have Miss Leslie Ann Prather, who is on the show today. Now, let me tell you my personal experience with Leslie. Leslie is personal. Pandemic. I started working out online.
Yes.
And within a year and a half, my body was completely different.
Yes.
Now, I've always worked with trainers, but I had never worked with a female personal trainer. She has me doing things that I've never done before. A couple of months ago, I was in a deadlifting contest.
Deadlifting.
Me. Okay. Vanessa, anybody knows me? You doing that? And I'm competing again.
In June, we'll be doing another show.
Right. So welcome, Leslie. So Leslie.
Hello. Happy Black History Month, even though it's called.
It's so Happy History Month.
It's Happy History Month. So Women's History.
Right.
History Month. Anyway, guys, my name is Leslie. I go by Leslie Ann Fitness. People think that's my name because I never go by Leslie Ann Prather. So people know me as Leslie Ann Fitness. I am a fitness coach, meaning that I don't just do your basic personal training. I do pretty much everything. I do yoga. I do mobility and flexibility training. I do Pilates. I do weight training. I do powerlifting and I do bodybuilding training. So I pretty much am in the entire arena of fitness, but I pretty much specialize in, for me personally, I am a competitive powerlifter, which meaning we do three Olympic lifts with this bench, squat, and deadlift. So we get to compete in those particular areas of fitness, and it's a one rep max thing, and I just love it. I love it because it tests your strength. Whereas other types of sport is pretty much based on aesthetics, about how you look and how lean you are. My sport, I compete in for strength. Reason why I love it so much is because people always say that I've been strong for a girl. I just want to be strong.
Period.
To be strong for life and for my son who's over there. Let's
bring him up here. Put him here. Let him come and say hello. Come on.
Oh, that's my twin.
Take that hood up so we can see you. What's his name?
His name is Ethan.
Ethan, say Ethan. Hello.
Say hello.
Say hello to Detroit in Black and White.
So Ethan is like my son. I've been into fitness even while I was pregnant with him. I worked out with him up until 4 days before I had him. I went back to the gym 6 weeks right after I had him. That's after a cesarean as well. So I never stopped working out because it is life to me. It's a lifestyle. It's not something that I do because I just want to lose 10 pounds here, 10 pounds there. No, I do fitness like people get up and brush their teeth. It's a lifestyle. And so he's been a part of that lifestyle.
So tell, I'm sorry. Tell us about your business, please.
Okay, so my business is called Training Wheels Detroit. When I first started the business back in 2011, reason why I named it Training Wheels Detroit, or just Training Wheels, now that I here live in Detroit, I used to travel to my clients. So they didn't have to do anything but wake up and open the door.
So you brought your equipment, whether exercise bands or...
I brought exercise bands, kettlebells, mats. I brought everything. I brought the gym to them. They just had to open the door and let me in. And so that's how I just call it Training Wheels. And another reason why I named it Training Wheels is because I specialize in helping people who have no idea about fitness. I like the beginners. I like to teach people the basics of fitness. I don't want anybody who's been in this business because those people, I like to be the one to instruct. So for people who are just starting off in the fitness arena that don't know what to do, I am your girl. That's why I started as Training Wheels.
You have so training you take wheels people from you. The beginning. You want them from the beginning. So a guy like
that's
me
the people that I love.
That's been in the gym for 30 years and I'm still a before picture. You don't want
No, I do want you because it's a disconnect there. And I want to know why
you're before picture.
20 years later is still the same picture.
But I think you should tell us a little bit about nutrition too, because I think nutrition is when you're talking about somebody starting out, please tell us.
Nutrition is people say it's 80%. I'm going to say nutrition is 92% of the goal, of the benefit. You want to see results. Am I right? It is nutrition. Nutrition gets you where you need to go. People say abs are made in the kitchen. They are made in the kitchen, meaning it is 90% diet. Now, what the weight training does, it helps expedite the process. You lose body fat quicker. But if you're eating healthy and whole foods 80-85% of the time, and the rest 15-20% is foods you like, you should be able to change your whole body composition. But without diet, you can't do anything. You can't out-train a bad diet. You can never out-train. And people do it all the time, and they never see results.
So, Leslie, I'm actually doing the pandemic. Could you tell people about your online?
Yes. So, yeah, Vanessa had the opportunity to come to me during the pandemic. But once that started, the gyms were closing. People couldn't see me one-on-one anymore. So I had to think of something that, okay, so how can I still do what I love and to help people out? So right now, it was like, okay, we got Zoom, we got FaceTime. So what happens is I began to take clients on a computer, well, actually on my phone. And the first time I did it, I think I was doing it for free the first couple months. And after a while, people, it just took off because you couldn't get to me personally, but you could if I had a camera right here and I can see you in the camera. That means you in my living room.
So you can evaluate people's workouts. Oh,
absolutely. So I can show them the exercise first, let them know, and then I'll stop and watch you do it. Vanessa knows I'll get in that camera and say, Vanessa, turn this way. Put your hips out. Oh, no, you're not pulling. Yes, I would.
Cheating.
Yes, I can tell.
You wouldn't do that.
What are you doing?
Yeah, like, especially this one right here. And she would just look at me like, I ain't doing that. I'm not.
So you're gonna argue.
Yes, I had to get in the camera and say, no, do it again, as if I was in person. So that business took off. And to this day, it is the majority of my income is online training. People still do it to this day. A lot of people are still not going back to the gym.
So they have their equipment at home, whether it's kettlebells, whether it's
I send them off
10,
to
15 pounds.
So we wouldn't work with anything, maybe over 20 pounds, but a lot of the equipment that my clients use, you get it at the local stores, 5 and below. We go get it. And if you have something, we're using it. Now, when I tell people who join my online class, if you don't have the equipment that I need, I can just use your body. Just show up. I promise you, you'll get a good workout.
So you're
I need any equipment.
With big bench pressing and
oh, no.
And,
so we don't do what I'm doing. Because people don't have that at home. We don't have that at home. So I have to use what they use. Dumbbells, a mat, kettlebell ball. And we can have a phenomenal workout. And the workouts are only 30 minutes.
30 minutes. You do 30 minutes.
30 minute power hour, 10 second break. That's all you need. So So I do it early in the morning. So people, I like, it's a great way for people to start their day. Gives great energy. A 30-minute workout, you'll be surprised with a 30-minute workout for you. I work out for 2 and 3 hours.
Sure, of course.
Vanessa, we do have a video here. So
yeah.
Video, but believe it or not, a lot of the things that she showed on that video, she now has me doing, and never in a million years did I think I would be able to do any of those things. So she gets you all the way. Oh, I'll get you all the way. And I like people like Vanessa who tell me I'm not doing that. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can.
This is an amazing machine. The body, amazing. It can do whatever you want it to do, but it starts here first. The body ain't gonna move if the mind is not transformed.
Like running a marathon. It's like anybody running a marathon. Can do it if they want to do it.
If you really want to do it, you can do it. If you really want to do it, you can do it. And so I am a big component of, if you train the mind, once it gets into your heart, the body will follow. Because once out of what's in the heart, the mouth will speak. So if it's in my heart, I'm going to keep saying I'm strong. I know I can do it. I'm strong. Which in turn, the body will what perform. You'll be squatting. You'll be deadlifting. You'll be doing push-ups. And you'll be doing pull-ups. Because you said it out of your mouth, you can do it. But it has to be in the heart. And it starts in the mind.
So Leslie, tell our viewers how they can get in contact with you.
Yes, yes. You can contact. Now, I want to give you my business page, which is Training Wheels Detroit. You can find me on Instagram. I can be DM'd there. I actually have an online session that's getting ready to start March 11th. It's a 4-week session online in the comfort of your own home, 30 minutes. That will be starting March 11th. You can contact me again, Training Wheels Detroit. And that is on Instagram. Send me a DM and I'll send you all the information.
All right. Thanks, Leslie.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. You want to go to commercial? Okay.
Thanks, Charles, for letting me use your gardening supplies. I'll make sure I put it back in the garage. Man, tending to that lawn is a lot of work.
Tell you the truth, Jim, I'm more concerned about keeping this house.
What's going on?
Well, you know, Sarah lost her job 2 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Since we lost that income, the bills have been piling up, and we're so far behind. I don't want to lose the house because of back taxes. I don't know what to do.
I understand. The same thing happened to my sister and her husband when he lost his job. Do you know that the Wayne County Treasurer has plans and programs to help people stay in their homes?
No, I didn't. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Go to www.treasurer.waynecounty.com and see if you qualify.
What's that site again?
www.treasurer.waynecounty.com.
Got it.
And of the nursing home.
All right, we are back.
If you are watching today, we want you to like, subscribe, and share. As I indicated at the top of the show, we are celebrating Women History Month. So basically, I'm on the show anyway, right? But I'm running the show.
You're the star. What do you mean you're on the show?
So like, we have another Leslie on here. Now, Leslie Ann talked about it being in the heart. We actually have somebody that represents love. We have former state rep Leslie Love, who represented the 10th
House District.
10th House District. She is one of my sorors, Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated.
That's right.
And And I thought it would be nice to ask Leslie to come on the show. When I made contact with Leslie, I did not know that she was running for Senate, U.S. Senate. But she indicated that she suspended her run. Right. But we still wanted her to come on to the show and talk about Leslie, her work as a state representative, her work in domestic violence, and guess what? She's a comedian.
No way.
Everybody knows that I love comedians. My father was a comedian.
Oh, my goodness. So,
she's on Comic View.
Yes.
And Def Comedy Jam?
Not Def Comedy Jam. I toured internationally, Comic View. yeah, in every club. Back, I came up in comedy in the heyday of Detroit comedy clubs. And so we had about four of them operating, and bars like this that we're in, we'd come somebody to have a comedy night. And I got to tour internationally with Cedric, not international. I did tour internationally, but I also got to tour with Cedric the Entertainer on his Bud Light Presents comedy tour. So did comedy, did some acting.
Right.
And I have operated in this political space. So I have a large breadth and depth of experience. And so all of that was not wasted because I needed it to navigate this life and particularly my career in public service.
Hey, Leslie, I have a question. What comedians have inspired you over your lifetime?
When I was very, very young, there were two comedians that really stuck out to me, and that was Whoopi Goldberg and Tracy Allman, because they played these characters. Uh-huh. And I thought, wow, that was fascinating to me. So those were the two right off the rip that.
And how about today? How about today? Are there any comedians?
Well, Whoopi is still alive. So her today, I am very, very much infatuated with Dave Chappelle. Uh-huh. And I used to didn't like D.L. Hughley. But he does actually a lot of political commentary that I like, as well as George Carlin, who, you know, rest his soul. So that's who I like today. But a lot of comedians are up there that I really like are from my time back in the day. I don't know a lot of the new up and comers so much because we paid a different kind of dues.
I like that when it comes from a young lady talking about back in her time.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to pivot a bit. I want to ask you about your political career, in particularly your career as a state rep. And I'm also want to ask you about your take on what's going on here in Michigan in terms of the U.S. Senate race.
Ooh. Yeah, get right into it. So, you know, running for U.S. Senate was really important, and it mattered to me. And I think representation matters in a political space in America. But since I'm in Michigan, particularly in Michigan, there should never be a table politically where we do not, as African Americans, have representation. Understanding the history of Black people in America, of making these United States the United States. And so because of all of that work, And how we our people have been used in the political process. Friedel didn't come. Lincoln didn't do the Emancipation Proclamation. There's even a statement that he says because he really wanted to free slaves. Mm-hmm. He was indifferent about that issue. It was like, I am trying to create a united nation. And that was the objective. But we've been used there. We've been used in wars. We've been used in so many political pawns. And so now it's time for us to have political power and be there. And in recent history, at least in the 50 plus years that I've been here, I've never seen us in a situation where we are today, where we don't have Democratic representation in Washington, D.C., that's African-American. And so that breaks my heart, knowing some of the people who were there, having campaigned for them, supported them, been on the front line on many causes here in Michigan and Detroit to see where we are today. It's just like, how did this happen? And so I thought it was important that not only representation was there, but someone that is experienced in this space. I don't know if people really get how rare it is to have a Black woman who has been elected and reelected and served honorably, pass legislation. I have seven laws in my name signed into law,
and have this breadth and depth of experience and relationships with people, it's like a unicorn. It really is. It doesn't come often and it doesn't come easy. So I wanted to offer myself in this space to represent the state of Michigan as a person and to represent the middle class, because everybody runs in these middle class issues, but they're not the middle class.
Tell us about your appointment. You were appointed to a position by Rick Snyder and appointed to a position by Gretchen Whitmer. So exactly. Tell us about how you were able to wade through all that.
Because I'm dope. It really is. I love people, and when it comes to politics, there are issues. There are real policy and issues that we argue, we fight, and I take you to task on. And I'm a fair fighter. You know, my word is my word. My yes is yes, and my no is no. But and I think they saw that about me. I'm a fierce advocate for things that I believe in, and so Governor Snyder saw that, and he saw the work that I was interested in around the professional trades, the skilled trades. And so he appointed me to the Michigan STEM Council. And then when the pandemic hit and what was happening to our seniors and people who were in nursing home or long-term care facilities, because my mother was in one, that really, you know, I was fired up about it. And she's like, hey, I'm going to put you here. But she's also appointed me to the Natural Resource Commission. And I was the first African-American woman talking about Women's History Month. On the other side of Black History Month, I'm the first Black woman in Michigan to be appointed to the Natural Resource Commission. So it was a joy to serve. I do miss those monthly meetings. And I think that appointment came because I was co-chair of the Sportsman's Caucus. So I was hunting and fishing and doing all that fun stuff and really getting to know our outdoors and wetlands and lakes and rivers. And
what were some of the issues there in terms of the natural resources? What were issues that you were dealing with?
Deer hunting. it is, oh my God, the sicknesses with deer, there were the words are losing me now. When you're in the midst of it, you know all the buzzwords. But we have infected deer, and so that was a big thing. People wanted that and antlerless hunting. So there were hunters who wanted to hunt the deer with the antlers because you men folks just got to take home a trophy, and we're like, don't hunt the deers with the antlers. Let them grow up and live some life. Hunt the does. And so that was a whole issue around where to hunt and whether or not you should be hunting antlered deer.
So we have a Democrat that knows how to handle a firearm, and I was so excited that we have a Democrat right. that knows how to.
There's lots of Democrats. I'm just kidding. That's why we probably can't get any legislation done, because people have their firearms and it's not letting
them go easily. And I'm glad that you're honest about that, mm-hmm. because that is probably, I'm sure that is the reason why there's no legislation. You can get it done. Because there are people who stand with supposedly the Republicans. They believe in their arms. They mm-hmm. believe in the right to bear arms. Mm-hmm. And they do not want to have restrictions. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about this before. I mean, you can do all of this, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you can do all of this. What word am I looking for? You can look at people and have them take a test or whatever and to determine whether or not they should be able to carry, that to me is just a waste of time. You never know.
But everyone should be required to take firearm education, safety education, and be certified. I don't care if you want a handgun or a shotgun, a semi-automatic weapon, everyone should take the education certification. I had to take it so that I could hunt and carry my rifle, you know, in the woods, just, you know, I have my little piece of paper. Mm-hmm. It takes you through a lot, like understanding how a bullet, when you pull the trigger and the pin fires, all of how that the combustion of a bullet happens. Right. And then understanding sight lines. So I see the deer, but what's behind the deer?
Right.
And, you know, and just the awareness of where you are and how to carry your firearm, all of that. So every single person who owns a gun needs to have at least that firearm education, just like everyone who operates a vehicle has to have some vehicle operating education. So I think that's one thing that we really, that's a law that could have been passed that's not passed.
Hunter safety, you're talking about. That was required for people under 18 at one time.
Yeah. Right. And then shouldn't that be required before purchasing?
Before purchasing,
because I've bought
and in my class, because I did mine,
and they just give it to you. Right. They don't give me no education. You find that out on your own.
Yeah,
so I think
it's terrible. That I think is an injustice, and then you learn reverence for what it means to fire off that bullet, and what it means, and responsibility too. So, we could do better in that. It's just like first, can we educate ourselves? Yeah.
I agree. You have another question? I don't.
I do have a question. So Leslie, what's next? What's on your agenda?
I'm paying very close attention to this U.S. Senate race. It is really interesting to me because we've just had the presidential primary, and normally our presidential primaries lead people to the ballot. We won't have that in August.
No.
And so we're looking at the top of the ticket that U.S. Senate seat to bring out voters.
Right.
And there's not a lot of enthusiasm about either one of our candidates that are our U.S. Senate candidates. They're both outer towners. They both come from elite situations. And so they're equal in that. So they have a lot of work to do to make sure you're touching a lot of different audiences and constituents in the state of Michigan. So I'm paying very close attention to how we do that, very close attention to even us in Southeast Michigan and Detroit and Black folks and how we are going to operate politically in the future, because we have a race in 25 and 26. There's mayoral race coming. There's other state offices coming in 26. And so we can't piecemeal how we approach politics. We need to look at and plan in a more holistic approach. And so I'm watching this race to see how people behave and come out for Hill Harper. I'm expecting to see more African-Americans who was holding up because they, it's too many of you all in the race. I don't want to get involved. Well, Pam is not in the race. I'm not in the race. Are you supporting Hill Harper? So what are they doing and how are we going to affect the vote come August? And so I'm paying attention to this.
When you say paying attention, what does that mean really? When you say you're paying attention, are you going to get involved? Are you trying to?
I could possibly get involved.
And when you say get involved, you talk about running or?
No. Not running. Not suspending my campaign.
Okay. Right.
But it still matters because whoever is elected is representing me. At this time, we're dealing with redistricting too, and trying to have representation for the first time. Both of my elected officials live in Oakland County. My state rep and state senator. They don't live in Detroit and they don't live in Wayne County. And so all of this representation piece and how we're going about so let's tackle this. Now let's tackle this. And not having a holistic approach and not really figuring out what's our financial base. Politics is a lot about money, especially the higher up the ladder you go. And traditionally, we don't have a culture of giving to politicians.
Right.
We don't understand their contributions to our life. I'm like, it really matters. We give to the church. We give to the church real good.
Absolutely.
But what we're doing, and we represent some of the toughest neighborhoods that have a lot of need. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, don't disrespect what we bring to the table here. But everyone's doing it. So you think everyone can do it, but everyone doesn't do it well. And so we want to make sure I'm paying attention to cultivate the next leadership to do that, to make sure I'm helping the right candidate and to figure out the financial mechanism that makes us viable in this space where people keep putting dollars before lives and individuals and people. So, I'm paying attention to it all.
Right, let's say I have another question. Can we expect you to see you on stage anywhere in the future?
You never know. Look out for Leslie Love. She could be on a stage.
A great stage
on
name.
A microphone at a table in a bar near you.
It's a great stage name. It's a great.
Right. Well, Leslie.
Got a gorgeous
Jim,
name, girl.
We yes, we are do. Wrapping up the show for today. Thank you, ladies, so much for coming to celebrate Women's History Month. I do want to make sure that I let our viewers know that there is a parent town hall meeting tomorrow addressing the educational crises. It is tomorrow, and it will be at 13031 Chandler Park Drive, Detroit, Michigan, 48213. So, parents, go to that parent town hall. We talk about education all the time on this show and the plight of education, in particular DPS. So, DPS.
CD.
But go to that parent town hall meeting. We're going to wrap it up. Alan, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, I just want to say, you know, the Michigan primary, I think it's great that people got out for a primary. And even if they voted uncommitted, I think everyone's trying to express their opinions. And the uncommitted, if it makes Joe Biden work harder, if it makes all the – we have to hold all the candidates accountable. And so it's great to see. It's better to vote something than not to vote at all, I think. Mm-hmm.
Just very quickly, Kenneth Reed is in the house today, and I'm happy he's not commenting, and we're missing his comments, but he's in the house today. So Kenneth Reed is a friend of the show, and we're glad to have him on scene today. That's all I have. This is Kenneth. He looks a lot bigger than he looks on the screen.
I know Kenneth Reed. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Wrapping up, so give your final thoughts. You can sit up and talk to Adolf. Y'all over there talking it up loud.
Mm-hmm. Just be quiet. That's kind of a reunion of sorts. My final thoughts, you know, I would suggest that for those who are out here, whether you voted uncommitted in the presidential primary, we got to bear in mind that we got to get our acts together because November will be here quickly, right? And for myself personally, I did vote for Biden in the primary because, in my opinion, an uncommitted vote is almost the same as not voting at all. You know, I was taught that you got to take a position and stand 10 toes down on it and not play around. And I also, you know, if we don't take this thing seriously, we're going to be in a lot of trouble because what I see happening is that if Trump was to get back in the office, you got Sam Alito, you got Clarence Thomas, they're in their 70s, and they're going to step away, then these guys are going to appoint, and Trump is going to appoint two new associate justices to the Supreme Court. They will get confirmed, and they're going to probably be young people probably in their 30s or 40s, and we're going to be screwed for the next generation to happen.
Good point.
All right, your final thought. Thanks for your final. Leslie.
My final thought is move your body.
That's right.
And vote.
Okay. Yes.
Leslie Love.
So my final thought would be that we have to take care of our head, our heart, mm-hmm. our hooch, and our gut. Live your truth and love on yourselves and each other a lot more.
My final thought is Vanessa Moss will be on your ballot for judge for 36th District Court. Woo! You see those petitions out there? You signed that petition so that my name will go on that ballot. Vanessa Moss, judge for 36th District Court. La-la. I adopt every one of these final thoughts. Are you going to give a final thought or not?
Nah, the final thought is you have took over the show and we love you. Leslie Love?
Yes.
You know my wife loves you. You know her, right? Dr. Jelena Mongo?
Yes.
You didn't know who that was?
Well, I'm the Mongos are all related, right? Like, I'm related to all the Loves, apparently.
Right.
You related to, yes, we're all related.
You related to Brian Love?
We're all related. That's my cousin from my other cousin. Right. You
know, anyway, Kenneth Reed, thank you. And
yeah,
you know,
thank you again.
And thank you, Leslie.
No problem.
I need to be working on.
Jim Nardone,
thank you. Yeah. Teresa, Alan Langles, enjoy your time. It's Detroit in Black and White. And thanks. Bob Roberts here at McChain, Michigan and Trumbull. We hope to see you next week. And I will be here. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.